tells them in this statement to pray daily. To pray daily. Here's what he says. Give us this day. He is emphatic in stressing the need for his followers to talk to him every day. That's basic. Talk to him every day. And again, remember we said earlier that when it comes to prayer, prayer is an invitation. And so in this moment, what Jesus is saying is, he literally is saying to them, come to me daily. In other words, I want to hear from you daily. I want to hear from you daily. Now, let's talk. I love people. God has wonderfully called me for his own glory, for the purpose of dealing with people. But there are some people I don't want to hear from every day. All right, there it's out there. Now you know. Thank God everybody's not here tonight. Now, Charles, edit that so that does not show up on the tape or anything. Are you videoing as well? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We don't want what they call audio trail. We don't want no visual audio trail. All right. Here's what Jesus says. Come daily. Do you literally understand the significance of that? That means that there's never a time when Jesus says, I don't want to hear from you. Have mercy. There's never a time in our lives when Jesus says, I don't want to hear from you. Come every single day. That's good news. All right. Secondly, here's what he says. Pray dependently. In other words, here's what he says. He says, give us this day our daily bread. The emphasis of a statement is this. If you don't provide it, I can't get it. Whatever the bread is, whatever. He uses bread as a symbolism of daily need. And whatever the daily need is, he says, depend on me to meet your need. Pray daily, but then pray dependently. Pray as if your life depended on it. And it does. Pray as if you desperately need God to work out every single situation in your life. And you do. Pray as if you realize you can't make it unless he steps in dependently.
One of the most important things about the Christian life is understanding that God never does for us the things he tells us to do for ourselves. But he always does the things he promised he's going to do. And along with that, there is this very important truth that without him, we can do nothing. We are nothing without him, and we are desperately dependent on him. And so you pray, recognizing that only God has the means through which your need can be met dependently. That's not even, that's not something to feel offended by or somehow feel less. Understand this, that when God saves us, he calls us to a life of dependence. Part of our problem before we met the Lord is that we were too independent. And the truth of the matter is that part of that has seeped over into our Christian lives now, and we function, some of us, the same way. And the reality is that God is calling us to a life the exact opposite of what we have been familiar with, and that is absolute dependence on him. But then there's a third thing, and this is equally important, and we need to spend time with it. Pray decisively. Decisively. Here it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is specific. He says, in essence, he says to us, when we pray, ask the Father specifically for what we want. Ask him specifically for what we want. Now, it is important to understand, once again, that the prayer life of the believer, the prayer life of the believer prayer life of the believer must be this is going to look a mess, but be kind. The prayer life of the believer will be sifted through the sovereignty of God. So whatever we pray for we must understand before we launch it into the air, before we commune with the Father, we have to understand that our prayers will be sifted through the sovereignty of God. They'll be sifted through the sovereignty of God. And all of our answers from God will come as a result of God's purpose for us. This section here is important. It's important and even though we know it, sometimes what we know becomes a well, actually it goes down to verse 39 in our Bibles, but specifically verses 26 to 30. We are told by the Apostle Paul that when we pray, first of all, we are to pray, and we are to pray, you know, of course, Jesus said daily, decisively, dependently, and all of that. But Paul says, understand that even in the moments when we're doing what we need to do for our daily needs, understand that sometimes circumstances and the situation that we're dealing with may not make sense to us in terms of where we are. It may not be clear. And so what Paul says is in Romans 8:26 and verse 27 is he says that we have a prayer partner. The prayer partner is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost always talks to God based on God's will. It says that he that searches the mind of God knows, right? And so he prays based on God's, he prays for us based on God's will. Remember Paul says in verses 26 and 27, he says sometimes we don't even know what to say, right? We don't know how to articulate what we're dealing with. Well, the Spirit of God does. And he communicates our hearts and our minds, and he communicates to the Father for us in a language that we don't understand, but the Father and the Spirit clearly know exactly what's going on, all right? And it's in those moments that these prayers are being sifted through God's sovereignty, all right? So that by the time the answer comes, the answer to our prayer always comes in the light of God's purpose for us. What is his ultimate purpose for us? That's the reason why Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together, right? And he says, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. And verse 28 helps us understand that the message of Paul is beginning to bend and turn toward his next section in his letter, which is chapter 9, which is sovereignty. And sovereignty and purpose always work together. They're lined up. God's purpose for our lives flows out of his sovereignty. And so our prayers are sifted through his sovereignty, and he responds to us in his answer based on his purpose. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means. The best thing for a praying person to do is understand their purpose. Understand your purpose. Why are you here? What did God save you for? Now, someone say, "Oh, Reverend, that's hard. I don't know what he saved me for." Yeah, you do. First of all, because it's tied to his will, and you never have to find his will. His will is present. If anyone's lost, it's you or me. But his will is not lost. What is his will? Verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Here it is. His will is that we would be conformed to the image of his son. That's his purpose for all of us. Now, the question is, how does he do that? How does he conform us to the image of his son? Verses 18 to 24, 18 to 25 of Romans chapter 8 gives the answer. And that is, every single thing that happens in your life and mine is God's handiwork in forming us into the image of his son. He's using every single circumstance, every single situation, everything that comes along in your life and mine to conform us to his son. Now, the reason why it's important is because he may not be doing the exact same thing in the persons who sit next to you. He may not be doing the same thing in their lives. But the end result is always the same. And that is, no matter how you cut it, all of us are being conformed to the image of his son. The how of that is unique and different, but the what of that is always the same. Are y'all even listening to what, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. How he's doing it, you can't always measure that up in light of the person that's around you or you're living with, not even a husband or wife, not siblings, not, you know, your friend, your pastor, your deacon or whatever. You can't always measure, but you can always see the hand of God and be sure that whatever God is doing in your life, he's doing the same thing in someone else's life, but not the same way. Not the same way. See, that's the reason. See, this is important because, see, what ends up happening is that when you get into these discussions with people, you know, well, I prayed, and what I asked for didn't happen, and all thing, and of course that's disappointing and it hurts, et cetera, that kind of thing. But on the normal circumstances, all those attitudes, those moods and everything else, and I know, I'm not just telling you this from the text of the scripture, I'm telling you this from my own life personally. Take from my own life personally. On the normal circumstances, what ends up happening is people who take that position, and I've taken it. The reason why I've taken those positions in my life after my prayers did not get answered the way I wanted them to get answered is because I did not ask the higher question, which is, what am I here for? What am I here for? What's the real purpose of my being here and in this situation? What is this about? When you settle this issue, remember I told you all some time ago, and I've been pushing it, and I've been threatening you all for years, and I haven't gotten there yet the way I want to. We all need to memorize Psalm 139. You ought to make that your life psalm. You ought to make it your life psalm. Because there are two fundamental questions that humans have. Who am I? Why am I here? And most people are spending their life spinning their wheels because they have not settled these two issues in their heart. And these two issues flow out of identity and purpose. Right? And both of these questions, I've told you this before, both of these questions are questions of design. They are design questions. And the truth of the matter is that the designed person cannot answer these questions on their own. These two questions are questions of design, and the only way you get an answer to these questions is you got to go to the designer. He's the one that settles the issues. Identity and purpose. And all of this somehow is connected to what's being said here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Now, you say, give me what I need for this day. You're praying daily, you're praying dependently, you're praying decisively. You know what you want from God, right? On a daily basis, you seek his face. And then all of a sudden, something happens way on the other side. Shows up, ends up, bam, at your house. And you're saying, wow, I didn't ask for that. Well, again, your prayer sifted through sovereignty, God sends the answer based on purpose. So we settle the issue of purpose first and be clear on that and understand that whenever we pray, all that comes our way comes with God's eternal purpose in mind, whatever it is, whatever it is. Now, I will confess to you that tonight's lesson is not for the faint of heart or the weak. It's not for the shallow or the immature. Because where Jesus is trying to take us is to a place of living in him, where we are absolutely comfortable with his choices for our lives. His choices for our lives. Check this out. When Israel in the Old Testament cried out for bread, there's not a single one of them, not even Moses, who would have expected God to send manna. Not one of them. Manna is something that only God can do. I need you to set that in your head. There was not a single, look, you got over 2 million people in the group. And when they needed bread, there's not a single one of them that sits down and says, oh my God, I wish God would send us manna. And even if they did, not one of them would have said, send it down 6 days out the week, and then on the seventh day, don't do nothing, and then go back and do it the same day. And then even if they did that, none of them would say, do it for 40 years, because none of them knew they won't be out there that long. None of them. Not one. Not one of them would have come up with the manna principle. Because manna is something that only God can do. Hold it. We know for certain they wouldn't have come up with it. You know what manna means in Hebrew? What is this? Okay. The word manna, translated manna in our Bible, in the Old Testament, what it means is, what is this? They woke up in the morning and that's the first thing they said. What is this? So not one of them prayed for it. Not one. But God, based on his purpose for them, provided exactly what they needed, hallelujah, on a daily basis. All right. All right. Any questions? Let's talk about it. Yes, ma'am. I see it in your face.